Hi all, and welcome back to another episode of Young Freud Students Podcast. And if you are new here, thank you for joining, and welcome. Today we will take a quick dive into getting to know what eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing therapy is, otherwise better known as EMDR. Before I talk about what EMDR is, I want to talk about the history and the background of the therapy. In the late 1980s, Dr. Francine Shapiro discovered that there was a connection between a person's eye movement and their upsetting memories. Dr. Shapiro just happened to be walking through the woods by herself, and she let her eyes dart back and forth from one tree to the other. And she noticed that as she did this, her own negative emotions began to decrease. This led her to conduct some more research and studies about eye movement and negative emotions on her patients. And eventually, this is what led to what is now known as EMDR therapy. You see, your brain stores normal and traumatic memories very differently. The adaptive information model is a theory about how your brain stores memories, and that theory is what EMDR heavily relies on. When you experience a normal, non-traumatic event, your brain is able to smoothly store this memory and connect them to things in your brain so that you're able to remember this event. However, if you experience a disturbing or upsetting event, the networking in the brain doesn't happen correctly. The brain goes quote-unquote offline and disconnects what you experience to what your brain stores in your memory through language. Your brain does not allow traumatic memories to heal because your brain did not receive the message that the danger is over. EMDR allows the client to access memories of their traumatic event in a very specific way. EMDR allows clients to access traumatic memories and help them to reprocess what they remember from the negative event. Reprocessing helps to repair the mental injury from the memory. Remembering what happened to them will no longer feel like the client is reliving the event. Rather, it makes them feel like the event and their memory is more manageable. And after this discovery and knowing about the brain and how trauma is developed and saved and stored in the brain, this led to Shapiro doing more research into EMDR. And of course, people are very skeptical about Dr. Shapiro's EMDR. However, once Dr. Shapiro was able to develop a formal hypothesis and demonstrate how EMDR therapy can be an effective treatment for treating trauma in randomized clinical trials, case studies, and over millions of hours treating trauma-related disorders all across the world, multiple organizations, including WHO, now recognize the effectiveness of Dr. Shapiro's EMDR therapy and harm research. Unfortunately, Dr. Shapiro passed away in 2019. However, her legacy of trauma-informed mental health care continues to impact therapists, researchers, and clients for whom EMDR therapy heals. Now, there are five ways that EMDR aims to treat their client. It aims to change the client's memory storage, so how they save the memory in their brain, how they deal with their past, how they deal with their present and future trauma, how to increase positivity in their life after this trauma, and how to use full integration. EMDR is not complete until the patient has no mental, physical distress around past or present trauma and has the tools to help them with their future trauma. EMDR aims to help the patient to live a fulfilling and balanced life. Now, for the interventions and the treatment of EMDR, the very first step is finding a therapist who the client agrees is a good fit for them. And once the client and the therapist develop a good relationship, they will work through the 8 phases of EMDR therapy. According to WebMD, there are 8 phases of treatment that the client will go through when their therapist uses EMDR therapy with them. The first phase is informing, gathering, and sharing. In this phase, it includes conversing about why the client has come to therapy and getting to know more about their personal history. The therapist will also come up with a treatment plan. Phase 2 is preparation. The main purpose of phase 2 is for the therapist to explain how EMD works and how hard it can be to manage upsetting emotions that may come up during sessions, and how they can manage these upsetting emotions during the EMD sessions. Phase 3 is assessment. During phase 3, the client and the therapist identify the traumatic events or circumstances that the client wants to address during therapy. This may include talking about details of the events and the emotions around those events. This can also include about how the client would like to think and feel about these emotions and events in the future. Phase 4 is desensitization. During this phase, the client will focus on the target memory while the therapist leads them through eye movements. The client may share any new thoughts or feelings about the source of their trauma. Phase 5 is installation. In this part of therapy, it is when the client starts to attach positive feelings and thoughts to a memory that has previously been connected to a traumatic or unpleasant emotion. Phase 6 is the body scan. As the client thinks about a memory that is the target of the therapy, the client should pay close attention to any physical responses they have. The goal is that you will have fewer and fewer negative physical symptoms until the client has none at all. Phase 7 is closure, and this is about how many sessions will end. The EMDR therapist helps the client keep a state of calm and a sense of security. As the client and the therapist talk about how the target memories have been processed and how they feel about them now, the therapist also gives clients new ways to manage any emotional challenges that may arise between sessions. The last phase is re-evaluation. During this phase, it's about how most sessions begin once the active part of therapy has started. It's a time for the client and the therapist to figure out how therapy is going and converse about any new memories, feelings, or thoughts that the client may have had since the previous session. This phase is also used to make any changes to the client's treatment plan. A typical EMDR therapy session will usually last between 60 to 90 minutes. So, for EMDR clinicians, they should focus on 11 culture competence focus areas when they are treating a client using EMDR. So the first one is the clinician that should understand the general importance of culture and the value of viewing each individual client's issues within a culture context. 2 is that the client clinician should understand the important dimensions of culture to each specific client, including the client's culture norms, values, beliefs, needs, etc. 3 is maintaining an attitude of curiosity and humility about other cultures while being aware of and seeking to overcome one's own culture bias. 4 is adapting EMDR therapy methods to the client's culture, context, and needs. 5 is providing though social education declines as appropriate. 6, empower clients in the face of culturally oppressive or stigmatization conditions, including discrimination. 7, implement EMDR interventions that effectively treat the internalized effects of culturally based trauma. 8, implement EMDR interventions that effectively treat clients with culturally related prejudice and discriminatory behaviors, thus reducing the legacy of culturally based trauma. 9, support the ally with humanitarian efforts for social change, including victim, survivor empowerment, social justice, and policy reform. 10, sustain EMDR therapist organizations which support the culture competence of practitioners and which are culturally competent organizations. And 11, seek ongoing education and training as needed to develop culture competence. So the recommended populations for EMDR is usually for adults who have a history of trauma and who display emotional difficulties and trauma symptoms. EMDR has been shown to be effective with children and teens who also experience trauma and have trauma symptoms. However, it is crucial for the therapist to not use EMDR on children who recently experienced abuse or neglect, since the child will not be ready yet to process their experiences through EMDR. EMDR usually used on people who have experienced trauma, such in the form as post-traumatic stress disorder, sexual assault, substance abuse, and addiction and violence. However, besides trauma, EMDR can help clients who have anxiety, panic attacks, chronic illness, depression or bipolar disorders, dissociative disorders, eating disorders, grief and loss, pain, performance anxiety, personality disorders, and sleep disturbance. Next, I want to talk about how a therapist can get trained in EMDR. Now, according to the EMDR Institute, Inc., the first step is to understand what EMDR training is. And EMDR therapy is a specialized approach that requires supervised training for full therapeutic effectiveness and client safety. The training consists of lectures, live and video demonstrations, and supervised practice. The second step is to make sure that you're eligible. This includes licensed professionals, pre-licensed professionals, and graduate students. If you are a graduate student and you are looking to become trained in EMDR, you must be enrolled in a graduate program in a mental health field, have completed core coursework, and be in the practicum internship phase under a licensed supervisor's guidance. Unfortunately, first-year students are not eligible. Step 3 is to register for training. First, choose your track. Select from two basic training tracks. One is tailored for therapists focusing on adults, while the other includes additional content for those who want to work with children and adolescents. Plan your schedule. Aim for about 3 to 4 month gap between the first and second weekend of trainings. This period allows you to complete the required 5 hours of consultation. A list of approved facilitators will be available during training and in the training manual. Retake. Available for those who complete basic training with the EMDR Institute and want to brush up on their skills. Step 4 is take your training. The training schedules are usually held from Friday through Sunday and it provides a comprehensive learning experience across the weekend. The training preparation, you should read and watch required learning resources, and a consultation requirement. You must complete 5 hours of consultation between weekend 1 and weekend 2 to reinforce learning and apply techniques. Consultation is about real cases. Participants must have current clients to participate in case consultation. And the last step is step 5, how to complete EMDR training. You must complete both training on both the weekends. Weekend 1 and weekend 2 trainings are required. The completion of training. Participants must complete the entire basic training, so 10 hours of case consultation within 12 months from the initial start date. You must also complete the required reading, so the EMDR basic principles, protocols, and procedures, which was written by Shapiro, 2018, and their case consultation hours. This is 10 hours of case consultation with an EMDR Institute approved call. So, divided into 5 hours before weekend 2 and 5 hours following weekend 2. Consultation is about real cases, and participants must have current clients to prepare in case consultation. So, the pros and cons of EMDR. The therapy has a few advantages, such as it has been proven effective in across multiple research and studies. EMDR has a lot less homework between the sessions. There isn't too much journaling or practicing certain behavior. EMDR can produce positive results faster than any other type of mental health therapy, and it's generally considered a very safe therapy. And of course, whatever comes with advantages comes with disadvantages as well. And some disadvantages to this therapy is that it may be hard to find a therapist who is fully trained in EMDR. And it is relatively still a new type of therapy, so it's not quite clear yet exactly how EMDR works or why, and whether EMDR therapy can be a long-term solution for everybody, or if it's a short-term solution. So some fun facts about EMDR. Prince Harry had reported that he used EMDR to treat his childhood trauma, so he had some good experience using EMDR. And Sandra Bullock also used EMDR therapy to treat her trauma after she had her home invasion. So, considering everything, I think EMDR is one of the most popular forms of trauma therapy that you typically hear quite often compared to other forms of trauma treatment. I like that EMDR therapy is culturally considerate, and I like that there are, you know, specific stages that a client has to go through, but goes through with the therapist that they find that they're safe with and they're most comfortable with. Like, it's not just any therapist. The client chooses what therapist they feel most comfortable with. And I just think it's really interesting how trauma affects the memories and how your brain and eye, using eye rapid movement mixed together is, you know, heals trauma, or at least helps people with their trauma. It's very fascinating. So yeah, I would definitely suggest if people can, you know, commit to their trainings and trauma really interests them and they want to work with trauma patients, that maybe EMDR therapy is something they should get trained in. So that is a wrap for our overview of what EMDR is. So thank you all for listening. Join us next week So we talk about generational trauma with our special guest. Thank you.